doing this because sometimes there's just things that come up that I have to take. So I really appreciate having this option, being able to speak to you. From my offices here at Peace Evangelical Church. It's great to see all my friends here this morning, and always a pleasure to be with you at Parkcrest. And today, you're getting toward the end of the book of Acts, and just at the very end. And so in Acts chapter 28, and we're at verses 1 to 16, and I think I don't know who you've got next week, but whoever it is I guess going to be finishing off the book of Acts, and so that's the next one. So Acts chapter 28, and we're from verses 1 to 16, and let's read that. And actually, I was wondering, could I ask Derek, would you be able to read that or no? Or is it too noisy for you, or is it good?
Sorry, would you be able to give me the passage again? I'm trying to find it.
Acts 28.
Acts 28, sorry.
1 to 16.
Okay. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood and, as he put it, on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the godless justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their mind and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief officer of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when they were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies they needed. Sorry, what was I reading to again? 16? Okay. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods, Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Regium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I was wanting to commit this to the Lord, this time that, we open up his word. Lord, we once again thank you for the blessings we have in Christ. So Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would continue to be with us. Thank you for the assembly at Park Crest, this wonderful group of believers and friends. Our prayer is that as we study the Word of God together, that you would guide us and bless us and watch over us. Thank you for each one represented here, each family, each brother and sister, and we think of the children as well. Watch over each one of them, we pray. Thank you again, in Jesus' name, amen. So as we open up God's Word here in Acts chapter 28, I think all of us can truly appreciate that this study in the book of Acts, which I've participated in with you over this last year, has been a blessing. I think that all of us have taken something from the book of Acts, and we see this early church as it formed, this early church as it transitioned, as it became a church that they realized that maybe they started realizing that the Lord wasn't coming as maybe they had expected when we first started the book of Acts. But still, they lived with that hope. And I think that all of us live with that hope of the expectation that we have of Christ. But in the meantime, we still have to go about our lives. And the Apostle Paul, he's the sort of guy that you could probably write a movie script about his life. His life really was like what we would see in the movies today. And an individual who lived a life that was really quite remarkable. A man who'd been a zealot, a man who had seen God move in his life in exceptional ways, and helped him become the man that we see in the scriptures. And I know that you studied in chapter 27, but I want to link it to what we've got here at the beginning of chapter 28. And we see how Paul was, he was taken aboard the ship as a prisoner, right? He was really a prisoner being taken, and he's going for Rome. And so he's the centurion, Julius, from the Augustan cohort. He was the one who was taking him. And so they're traveling, and then they end up in a storm at sea. Now, I don't know about you, if you've ever been in a storm at sea. I have, on a large ship. I've been in a storm at sea, and that thing gets tossed around, and a big ship gets tossed around, and you go up and down, and I'll tell you, I was laid out flat. And then I've been in smaller vessels at a storm at sea, and it was even worse. And I can imagine with these individuals, it was terrible, because these would have been wooden ships that were seaworthy, and yet they definitely didn't have all the modern technology and navigational ability as they have today. But what we see here is how Paul is in this shipwreck and the storm at sea. But we see in chapter 27 how he is always looking out for others. You see it in verse 20, starting from verse 21, how he spoke to the people and he shared really God's word with the members of the or all the people, the passengers that were on board the ship. And so he tells them all about his faith in God. And then we see how a little bit farther down from verse 22, or 27, I should say, how he issues a warning and with regard to what was going on. And he warned them. And he said to the centurion, unless men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. And he gave them this warning about what was, because they were so close to shore and close to being dashed upon the rocks. And then we see how in verses 33 to 38, what we see how Paul, he urges them to take food. He encouraged the people. So not only was he an individual who had discernment, understanding, he shared his faith, but also he was a person who really he was an example to them all. And so we see that. And then a little bit farther down from verses 39 to 44, we see how he's involved in helping the people. For example, the soldier's plan was to kill the prisoners, verse 42 says, lest any should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make it for the land. Now, because of how he had shared his faith, because of how he had spoken truth, the third thing we see how he was an example to the people. Because of all that, he actually saved the lives of the others. The other prisoners didn't have the same respect. They didn't have the same integrity. They didn't have the same example that was set by Paul. And so for that reason, they were rescued. They weren't killed by the soldiers. And so we see how, because of who he was, and because also we see how what happens in life, and as I don't know who took the previous week, but we see how the storms of life reveal who you really are. Let me repeat that. The storms of life reveal who we really are. What we see in the Apostle Paul is that his character through this storm was truly revealed. They saw what kind of man he was. And so in your life, in my life, the storms of life reveal what goes on in our lives. And you just have to ask yourself. I know that some of you have gone through a deep heartache. And here you are, worshiping the Lord, remembering the Lord, honoring the Lord. You're an example to so many of us. The Apostle Paul, as a man of faith, revealed what his character was, and what we see, even though there was a storm that physically destroyed their modes of transportation, even to where their destination was, God still has his purposes, and still they will arrive at their destination. We know that they ended up in Rome because we just read about it, but they here go by this place called Malta. And God had purpose in that. And so there's two things we can take from that. God reveals himself, or a person's character reveals himself through the storms of life. And the second thing is that through it, God had purpose, because they brought them to this island called Malta. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Malta. I've never been. And I always look at Malta and how there it's in the middle of the Mediterranean, this little island nation, and very, very interesting and unusual. Years ago, I saw pictures of how it was very religious, very strict codes of conduct. And I only think I've only met one person who is from Malta, and they were an interesting person. But I suppose there's dogs that are called Maltese. I'm not even sure if they come from Malta. Are they from Malta? I'm not sure, but let's just say they are, right? And so don't worry, I'm not going to teach a theology on having pets or anything like that. What we do know is that Paul displayed himself, and God displayed himself through that storm. And now ultimately what we can do is that we can learn through storms a lot about ourselves, a lot about God, and also we can be an example to others. Now, God brings them to the island of Malta, or to this isle called Malta, and apparently the word Malta means refuge. Apparently that's what the significance of the word is. And so in a sense, they came to this place, a destroyed group of people who go and they go and what they do is that they come upon this island. Now, the people welcomed all 276 of them. So in other words, there was a great survival rate of this original ship that went out, and everyone is they weren't lost. And so now what we find here is they come to this island, and the people there showed a great degree of hospitality to them. So I was reading about that, about this whole idea of hospitality. Now, what we see here is how they come to this place and then they settle there before moving on, but they were welcome. Now, hospitality was considered a great virtue in ancient times, and so what we see here is that something that was also very valued is when people were shipwrecked in ancient times, that was considered to offer them hospitality. Now, a reason why they offered them hospitality and people were kind of respected because they felt that the gods in the ancient times, the gods actually favored an individual who survived a shipwreck. In other words, they were blessed of the gods. And so that's how they would view it. And so what we see is they were they arrived there, and so now when they arrived, probably was a time of year when it was quite cool. So Malta has some fairly cool weather during their rainy and winter and cold seasons, and so they probably, you know, in that time, it was probably around maybe 15 degrees Celsius. That's what it would be in today's terms. Now, what we see here is in verse 4, as we read it, it says there, when the native people saw the, we see when Paul get, well, let's first of all look at verse 3. And so it tells us about these people, and it was at the end of verse 2, it tells us because it had been rain and was cold, and they welcomed them. And so they kindled the fire. They made sure they showed hospitality. Now, I think that within the context of what we know in this last week, for any of you, I had some relatives actually that were stuck in Hope on the way home from the interior this last week. And they were amazed at the way that the people of Hope opened up their homes. They invited people in to come and stay with them because at one point there was just no food. And they ended up really showing kindness to them. If anybody has watched, I haven't seen it, but I think it's a musical or it's a theater production called Far and Away. And that is about when 9/11 took place and how people landed in Newfoundland and how they were put up in that town of Cornerbrook, and or was it Gander or Cornerbrook? I'm not sure. Gander, okay, Gander, Newfoundland. And so thanks for taking a gander. We see how you know, human beings do that. We see that all over the world of hospitality and kindness. So So this is something that just wasn't an ancient tradition, but even today we see this happen. Now, verse 3 is interesting. It says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So we're going to take a look at that, about the viper, about the snake. But first of all, what do we see Paul doing? He's gathering sticks. Now, in reading this, I read this a number of times, and I was looking at it, and I was thinking, this is wonderful. And so then I started reading some commentaries, and they all reflected the same thing. Paul's desire to continue serving. He could have taken this opportunity, because he was the one that had predicted lots of things. He was like he had favor with this man, the what's his name? Sorry, I got to get his name right. The gentleman who Julius, the centurion, and Julius the centurion, he had favor with him. And so what it is that Paul himself, he could have done a lot, you know, like got all the passengers to serve him, so to speak, he could have requested that kind of treatment. Look, I've done a lot for you. I've shown kindness. I've, you know, and he helped, and he helped everyone get to shore. And because of his integrity, you know, they probably respected him. But what do we find Paul doing? He's collecting sticks. He's collecting. He's serving alongside. I think that for any of us that have any sort of leadership position. And so when I speak that way, you may have leadership position within your own home. You may have leadership position within any context of life. And what do we appreciate about people that serve alongside us and people that are leaders? When they roll up their sleeves and they start doing the things that you're doing, what the common person is doing. I read a little story about a number of years ago. There was a school that in Northfield, Illinois, I think that's the place it was. And this man was taking his daughter to a school that was actually a part of the D.L. Moody's organization. And by then it was a well-organized organization. And so he was taking his daughter. And so this gentleman, he was being accompanied and he was hoping to enroll his daughter there. And so this gentleman was accompanied by maybe his daughter and his wife, I'm not sure, but there was two women and one man. And so they started to, they needed help unloading all their luggage. And so they come along and they see this very common looking man, and he's has a cart and a buggy and with his horse. And it was like he had kind of like a thing, looked like a local cab driver of the day with a horse and buggy. And so the man kind of called him over and he says, would you help us out here? And he goes, well, I'm actually kind of helping out and waiting for the students to come for the school. And, but this man, he kind of gets a little stern with him and says, no, we want to use your services. I want you to take them to the hotel that we're staying at. And so, they get to the hotel. And so the man says, how much do I owe you? And the man kind of looked at him and he goes, oh, no, there's no charge here. And right then and there, it was sort of like an Emmaus Road experience. All of a sudden, he realized that was actually D.L. Moody himself. It was D.L. Moody driving this cab. And he was the one that had picked up these people. And he, in his kindness, drove them to the hotel. He actually had been there for other reasons, but he was just a common looking man, and he used his vehicle and the vehicle that he had, and took them. You know, it shows us, here's this man who's a true man of God. He's a preacher. He could have used his position. He could have said a lot of things. He could have acted in certain ways. But what does he do? He shows in his kindness that he's a servant. I just urge all of us, and I speak to my own heart. May I be a person that whether it's to work at Anvil Island, or it's working with another project or camp or anything like that, and you take the time and pick up a shovel, you cut the grass, you clean a toilet, whatever it might be, may we take the time to do that and take the time to work alongside, roll up our sleeves and work with others. We can learn from the Apostle Paul. All he did was pick up a bundle of sticks. But what he was doing, he was identifying with them, I'm a servant as much, and I'm just as involved in this as you are. So that's what we see here in verse 3. And so what we see is that there's this, all of a sudden there's this this situation with this viper or this snake that attaches himself to him. Now, Paul had a similar experience, and if we take a look at Acts chapter 14, this wasn't the first time that Paul had an experience with that, with this kind of thing. I just want to remind you of this in Acts chapter 14, and let's read in verses, we won't read it all, but verses 6 to 18, it tells us about this. And we saw how the Apostle Paul is there, and they found out about it. So in Lystra there sat a man who was lame. He had been it wasn't to do namely with a snake, but it was really to do with what they did. Here we go. When the crowd saw Paul looked directly at the man and saw, and he healed, and he said, stand up on your feet. Verse 10, at that the man jumped up and began to walk, and the crowd saw that Paul had done. They shouted in the Laconian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes. And so what it was is that all of a sudden something spectacular took place. Well, this is what took place here at this, in this instance. All of a sudden they see this happen. Now, the first thing that happened was they were rescued from the sea, so they felt that there was a special blessing of the gods because they had been rescued from the sea. Then when he is around the fire and all of a sudden this viper catches on, they're watching him and they're saying, well, the gods must be really mad at him, and so he must have really done something awful, and so he probably deserves to die. So what we see in this is that in verse 4, we see that in local and Roman culture, justice, and that's where we get the idea about Lady Justice. The justice was a goddess in those days, and that's why it's called Lady Justice. And so people often attributed a survival at sea as to divine favor, as I mentioned before. And so it was, and because of that, there would be virtue for that person. So one who escaped a shipwreck only to die another way was thought to be cursed by the gods. And so we see that in other places. We won't look him up, but in Numbers and also in Psalm 91, it mentions that, verse 13. We see how they, and so they're gazing at him, they're staring at him, and they're wondering what's going to happen here, and nothing happened. Now, for me, it's not clear whether he was bitten but certainly the viper latched onto him. And so he just shook it off, put it into the fire. He didn't swell up or anything like that. So it probably, there had been some sort of puncture that had taken place. Now, I'm not going to get into trying to explain what all happened there, but what they viewed as something that was very negative, and then all of a sudden, they realized that this man survived. And so what we see here is that the people thought that justice had come, you know, the goddess of justice had meted out, justice didn't get him on the shipwreck, but justice got him now. Now, sometimes we can be a little bit that way, right? We think a little bit fast. We are a little bit loose in the way that we perceive how God's justice should be meted out. What we see here is that he was preserved. We know who the Apostle Paul was. They did not know who the Apostle Paul was. The people that were traveling with the Apostle Paul knew who he was, but they did not know who he was. And so what we see is that sometimes we may look at it this way. I'm not, I don't want to spiritualize this too much. I want to be careful with that. But what we do see is how the Apostle Paul, he's preserved from this. But isn't it so true sometimes we can go through a very big event in our lives? We can go through something, to a real storm in our lives, whatever it might be. But yet there's something small when we're relaxed after the storm. We're in a very relaxed mode, and all of a sudden that viper comes along and snatches on to us. Do you see what I mean? Is that sometimes we can get too relaxed. Now, I'm not saying Paul was relaxed here, but sometimes those kinds of things can happen. And so we need to be very careful. 1 Peter 5:8 kind of mentions that in 1 Peter 5:8, if you want to just take a peek at that with me, what it says there, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We don't know what's around the corner. And so the Apostle Paul, he just shook it off. He was a man of faith. He was someone who could have been freaked out. He could have, but he didn't react in any sort of negative way. He had been consistent in his faith. He had been an example from chapter 27. We see here in chapter 28, as he works alongside and serves with the people, he doesn't put himself into a position of, well, I'm better than the rest of you because God's with me. No, he still is the Apostle Paul, that man who decided to roll up his sleeves and work alongside everybody else throughout his life. And we see that how Paul shows that consistent faith. And the final thing that we see here is that what was happening is that people were observing him. They were observing the way that he reacted. They were observing the way that he spoke. They were observing the way he served. They were observing everything about him. And that's a lesson to all of us, is that we are always going to be observed by others. You know what I think the key for Paul's life was? Is that he was so filled with Christ that he wasn't on a constant performance. There are times in our lives when we, as believers, you know, I think sometimes it happens when we go to church or we are in some sort of, even for our week at Bible camp, wherever we're serving. And I have seen that happen, I've seen some young people, you know, I look at their, as I've had them come to be part of camp, I'll look at their Facebook and I see what they live like every other week of the year. It comes to camp and all of a sudden you see, you know, maybe a week or two before they start cleaning up their act because they're going to go serve a camp. You know, the Apostle Paul, the way that he acted, the way that he reacted was natural. He was a man who served. He was a man who loved. He was a man who shared his faith in God. And he does no different on the island of Malta. He starts to display who he was as a man of God. How do we know that? Well, they remained there for 3 months. And during that month, what do we see? Well, the people treated them kindly. They treated them generously. And the Apostle Paul, what does he do? Well, let's read about what he does once again. It says there was this man named Publius. That's a Roman name. Obviously a wealthy man, owned a lot of land, owned probably a lot of the business that was there. And he had received them for 3 days. What does he do? He goes and he looks after this man's father who lay sick with fever and dysentery. Now, he might have had a fairly common sickness in those days, and a sickness that in those days might have killed a person. Today, we have medications for those things, but it was going to kill him. And it says there, and Paul visited him and prayed and put his hands on him and healed him. And so the people, what did they do? The rest of the people on the island with their maladies, with their sickness, they come along and ask Paul to heal them and cure them. We see how the people react. There's not an expectation put on them. They realize that there is a man of God amongst them. Does Paul venerate himself? Does he lift himself up? Does he exalt himself? No. We see the humility in him constantly and consistently. It's an example to me, and I hope it's an example to you, that I have to be naturally involved and interacting with the Word of God as it teaches me that my natural reactions to anything and everything that comes my way, any storm in life, any moment that I'm relaxed, where the devil can try to get at me in one way or another, sitting by a fire, a little viper can come and snatch onto you. You know, how do you react? I hope that each and every one of us will react in a Christ-like, godly way, whether we're in a storm, whether we're sitting in a more relaxed situation, whatever situation, may Christ be seen in us. In other words, not only at church, not only when you're serving at Bible camp, not only in public settings, but that people will see that we are the same person at home as we are when we're outside of our homes. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Now, who here has not been a little bit more grumpy at home, or a little bit more, you know, have a little bit more less character when we're at home? I think all of us have probably struggled with that at one time or another. But this is a challenge. What we know about Paul is that he was constant. He was consistent. What did he always say? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. What does Hebrews say about Jesus? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's it, obviously, in the character of Christ and the character of God and the redemption and the purposes of God, but also in the very character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul adopted that same attitude, and we should be challenged to adopt that same attitude in our lives today. And so what we see here is that the Apostle Paul, obviously, he healed. Now, Luke does not mention that they had big gospel campaigns. They didn't have a big evangelistic outreach or anything like that. I believe that in the common thread of how he spoke to people and how he healed them and how he shared his faith in God, that reached the people. I'm confident that there was probably some sort of a little bit of a revival there on the island of Malta. People that would have been, at the beginning, how do they meet them? They look at him and they think, oh, he's must have been a, you know, these guys have found favor with the gods, and they're not in the shipwreck. All of a sudden, a viper attaches them to himself. Oh, he must be a bad man. And then he shakes it off. All of a sudden, they elevate him to the status of God. You see how people are so fickle? But we as believers, we should be confident and constant in all that we do. and all that we say. So that's what we see here. And so they were honored greatly, it says, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. When you show kindness, when you show a consistency with God, there will be a blessing. What was the blessing? And it wasn't the blessing of oh, you know, we're going to send someone to advocate for you in Rome. No, he was still a prisoner. But what happened there is, once again, because of the behavior of the Apostle Paul and how he blessed the people of that place, they blessed them and sent them on their way with whatever they needed. Whatever they needed. They replenished their supplies and gave them opportunity to have a good sail all the way up into where it tells us here how they arrive at Rhegium and then to Puteoli, these places where, and from there they went inwards towards land. And there they found brothers and sisters and stayed with them for 7 days. You know, to Julius the centurion, this must have been a great example. I often wonder, did Julius ever come to know Christ? I would think, how could he not? When he saw the example of Paul, when he saw how God protected all of them and blessed them. I mean, they met other believers. In Malta, they were blessed because of the supplies they had to go on. And as they come to clear close to Rome, 7 days, I'm not sure if he was there the whole time, doesn't tell us there, but they stayed with the brothers. And he was still a prisoner. They couldn't overturn the law because he had appealed to Caesar. But what we do see is that there's some blessing that is attached to that. And, you know, he's under house arrest. And he has a soldier with him, and he's under house arrest. And we see how God, in his kindness, gave Paul that opportunity to be able to write letters and be a blessing. Now, the next section has to do with Paul in Rome, and we'll leave that to the next individual that is going to be speaking. But what can we appreciate? Now, it's interesting how at verse 11 it says, after 3 months we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island of Alexandria. And it's interesting that it mentions these twin gods as a figurehead. These are the two gods that are mentioned, and I think in the NIV it does mention the names of them, the twin gods Castor and Pollux. And so as these two represented what it is that it represented that Roman officers or ships that were often used, they were commonly invoked as the twin brothers Castor and Pollux as their patrons and protectors during storms. So a lot of seafarers would use this. And so in ancient myth, although Pollux had inherited immortality, he shared it with his brother Castor. And in some versions, their days among the living alternated. And so sometimes they felt they even lived among them. It's just an interesting fact that it shows the contrast that there's still this strong belief in this kind of thing. And the Roman seafarers, the Roman soldiers, maybe they would see this as a positive sign. Remember, probably not all of them came to know the Lord or anything like that, but they certainly could see the contrast between the way that Paul issued or lived out his faith and how they had their faith in all these other things that were temporal. They were made up by humans and in reality had no spiritual value in the end. Now, what we see is that we meet they meet these group of Christians, and what we can appreciate is that Paul was greatly encouraged when he met them, and I'm sure he was. It was wonderful to meet fellow believers there, and they could be a blessing to one another. What have we learned today? We've learned that to serve and to be constant is necessary in our lives. And if we start practicing that on a daily basis and on a daily basis and a constant basis, what will happen? We will be blessed. We will be blessed. If we do it on a constant basis, it will come out naturally. And we will be an example to others. What we see here is how the people were so blessed by the visit of Paul, how the none of the prisoners were put to death because of the blessing of Paul. And he was an example to everyone. And he didn't say to them, "I told you so," when he had given them a warning in the previous chapter. No, he still lived out what he should. And I hope that each and every one of us can learn how to be an example as Paul was an example, and that we can live our lives. So pick up a bundle of wood. Just help out. Show that you're just part of the crew. And whatever example you might be, you know, I think mothers do that with their children. Here, you know, and they say, "Why didn't you clean up?" You know, when your child is first learning how to clean up, what do? You get alongside them and you say, "This is how you do it." When you are showing someone to do something, you model it. You show how it's done. May that be something that people can see in our lives. How we react, how we serve, what we do, the work that we put in any given situation. Ultimately, for the glory of God and the sharing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for these moments we've been able to spend together in your word. May Christ be exalted in us and through us for your glory, we pray. Thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. Thank you for this story that... It looks like a movie script of someone who went through so much, and yet we see value in the way that he lived out his life. And Lord, it didn't change the outcome of his arrest, didn't change the outcome of his death, but all along the way, he blessed others as he had been blessed by God. And Lord, as we journey through this life, may we be constant and consistent, and be natural in the way that we serve, in the way that we react, in the way that we work alongside others, and that others will be blessed. They either come to Christ or be discipled to serve you in their own way, and then they can pass that on to others. May we all do that. And we thank you again for the Lord Jesus, for the gift of salvation. Be with us now, in Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you both today. May he give you peace.